Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. It says in verse 32, "Be ye kind one to another." Be kind one to another. Now, this may not always seem very popular. This may not really seem like the thing to do, especially if somebody's not kind to you. But the Word of God says, be kind one to another. You know why people have problems very often? Because they're not kind. Let's say somebody does something against you, but you're kind. Do you think you're going to hold it against them? Not if you're kind. If you're kind, you'll be very quick to forgive them. So he says, be kind one to another. The kindness that you show is first and foremost to your benefit, more so than it is to the benefit of the person you show it to. It benefits them also. But before it benefits them, it benefits you. Because it protects your thinking. It protects your experience. It protects you from being negative. It protects you from being hurt. So he says, be kind one to another. And then tender-hearted. Tender-hearted means you're not nasty. You don't get hard and tough and all aggressive and stuff. No, you're very gentle. You're very tender-hearted. You receive easily from God. You have a lot of compassion toward people. Then he says, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, this can be very tricky for people. Because sometimes things happen and people will say, I will not forgive. Because if I forgive, that lets you off the hook. You know, it's okay to let people off the hook. It really is. In your life, make a practice of letting people off the hook. Because when you keep them on the hook, you're the one who has to keep them there. And that becomes very, very difficult. A person who will not forgive is a person who, I'll tell you one thing, they're going to have one miserable life. You take a look at people who are bitter, especially when they're older. Invariably, there's something about not forgiving in there. They didn't forgive something or someone, but that lack of forgiveness made them bitter and it made them miserable. Now, let me ask you a question, young people, as you look forward to your lives and you're thinking about what it's going to be like for you in the future. Do you picture to yourself, hey, you know what? I want to be bitter and miserable. Does that thought come to your mind? I want to be bitter and I want to be miserable and I want my life to really be lousy. Does that make you excited? Gracie's looking at me like I'm insane. Of course I'd be insane to think that way, right? Who thinks like that? Nobody's stupid like that. But you know, people get there. There's plenty of people who are bitter and miserable and not happy. There's people who regret even having to live this life. And it always boils down to this one element. There's something in them that won't forgive. Maybe they have made mistakes and they can't forgive themselves. Or maybe people have done something to them and they can't forgive that person. Whatever it is, whenever you find somebody who's negative and bitter and just having a miserable time of it, forgiveness is usually at the core of it, or the lack thereof. He says, forgive one another, because God, for Christ's sake, because Christ died for your sins, forgave you. So to God, it's a really big deal that you learn to forgive. It's a really big deal that you learn to love people. It's a really big deal that you learn to be kind. It's a really big deal that you learn to be merciful. God values those things very highly because He died on the cross in order to give those things to you. So if Christ, who is God, thought those things were worth His human life, do you think He thought they were valuable? He thought they were incredibly valuable. He thought they were the most valuable things that exist. And so he says, have this as the primary characteristic of your life. You are kind, you're tender-hearted, you forgive people just the same way as God is toward you. Then it says in Luke 6:36, and this is important. This is why people get in trouble with this type of a thing. He says, be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. And then he continues, judge not and you won't be judged. Judge not and you won't be judged. What does it mean to judge somebody? You look at somebody and you make a negative conclusion. That guy looks really kind of dishonest to me. Oh, I see what they're doing. It's something bad. You see, that's judging. Now, sometimes you may even be right, but you know what? What advantage is there in it if you are right? Let's say I look at somebody on the street and say, they look like a criminal, and they turn out to be a criminal. What benefit has that given me? You know what benefit that's given me? None. All that has said to me is, be negative about this person and have this little part of your life and this element of time, this part of your time that is limited here on earth, give that over to negativity so you can flush it. That's no good. You don't want to do that with your life. It doesn't really matter if somebody is this way or that way. What really matters is the way that you are thinking. What really matters in your life with God, your experience with God, is the way that you are thinking. What really matters to God about you is the way that you are thinking. So he says, don't judge them. Then he says also, don't condemn them. Condemn means you simply decide somebody is guilty of something. Don't condemn them, and you won't be condemned. And here's the next one, and this one is huge. I think this one gives more people trouble than a whole lot of other things, maybe more than anything else. Then he says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Now the word forgive means to release somebody from bondage or from prison. When people do something they shouldn't do, they enter into a prison of sorts, even if they don't go to jail for real. But in their thinking, they enter into a type of prison. Because now they are guilty. Or now they have opened the door for more negative things. Now there is the opportunity for things that are not of God to enter into their life like there wasn't before. And they enter into this personal prison. God said, release them from that. Sometimes when somebody does something toward us, or really when we do it too, we can do this to ourselves. When somebody does something that's wrong before God, or does something wrong against us or what have you, then they tend to live in the realization and the thought, this person did this. It's amazing how that works. By the way, that's why you never repeat evil things about people. Whether they're true or not doesn't matter. You just never repeat evil about people. Why? Because you live with that in your thinking. And you become the one who suffers from it. There's a lot of people who spend their entire life being miserable about something somebody has done to them, and they might have done it to them like 30, 40, 50 years earlier. They'll say, well, when I was a kid, somebody did something bad to me, and they're 75 years old and still crying about it. Well, who's in prison? That person has spent an entire life with that negativity haunting them when they could have just been freed from it if they had forgiven. So God is saying here, if you release people from the mistakes they make, you'll be released from the mistakes other people make. In other words, if I forgive somebody of something they do to me, it won't plague me anymore. It won't bother me anymore. I don't have to live with those results anymore. If I don't forgive, I will spend possibly an entire lifetime with this kind of negativity, with this kind of bondage, with this kind of difficulty, and it can make your life miserable, just like a prison. So God says, release people from that, and then you will be released from it also. On the other hand, he said, if you don't release people from that in Matthew 18, you'll never get released from it. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in the prison of other people's mistakes. Or for that matter, I don't want to live in the prison of my own mistakes. So if I make a mistake, I'm very quick to receive forgiveness from God, because He's really the only one who can forgive or not forgive. Anybody else who doesn't want to forgive, they're just simply entering into condemnation or judgment. And that's not good news. So I receive forgiveness for my life, and just in the same way that I receive forgiveness for my life so that I can be freed of mistakes, I forgive other people for their mistakes so I can be freed of not my mistakes, but theirs. So their mistakes don't affect me. Very practical stuff here. Because you may not realize it just yet because you're still quite young. But a lot of people will spend many, many years in prison to other people's mistakes. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, everyone will be judged by God. Everyone. You cannot escape that. Everyone will be judged by God. Now, the believer is judged for rewards. The unbeliever is judged whether they receive Christ or not. Now, you've already received Christ, so that will not be your judgment. But you will be evaluated someday for rewards. And that can be a very positive thing, or that can also be a very difficult thing, and it depends on your decisions now. In Matthew 7:1, we find out that we choose our judgment. All right, you've taken a test in school, and then the teacher says to you, what kind of a grade would you like? I'll give you any grade you want. What kind of a grade would you like? How many people would say, I want a D? Can I have a D? Nobody really says F. I would like a C. How many people would choose a C? How many people would choose an A? Heck yeah! Well, you know, God says that's how it works with Him. Yeah, you will be judged. You're going to be evaluated by God for what kind of rewards you get. But He also says, you get to pick what that judgment will be. It says there, don't judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged or condemned or criticized. I don't get into judging people and condemning people and criticizing people, and I don't receive God's judgment, condemnation, and criticism. Now we think to ourselves, well, God wouldn't criticize me. God wouldn't judge me. God wouldn't condemn me. It's grace, right? Yeah, you go ahead and think that if you want. But that's not what the Bible says. He says, don't judge, criticize, or condemn others that you may not be judged, criticized, or condemned yourselves. And then he continues in verse 2, just as you judge in the very same way and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. You choose. There's your choice. You get to pick. And then he continues, and in accordance with the measure that you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you. You choose your judgment. So let's say that you're somebody who is very negative and judgmental and critical and sarcastic and all this stuff. Guess what God's going to be like with you? It doesn't matter that there's grace. There's also a government. That's how it's going to be for you. But what if you're somebody who's very kind and patient and merciful and gentle? Guess how God's going to be with you? God's going to be very kind and gentle and merciful and patient with you. Now let me ask you something. How many people want God to be really tough and hard on them? Show of hands. I want God to be really tough and hard on me. No hands. Huh, I wonder why. How many people want God to be really gentle and sweet and kind to you? Look at that. Everybody's hand goes up. I wonder why. Why? Because you're not insane. At least you're not insane in the way you think about it, but you know there's plenty of people who are insane in the way they actually practice this. They say, oh, I want God to be kind to me, but they're not kind. I want God to be patient with me, but they're not patient. Oh, I don't want God criticizing me, but they're critical. You see, you choose. You choose. God doesn't choose, you choose. And if you want to choose God to be gentle and kind and sweet and merciful and patient with you, then be like that toward other people. If you would like to choose for God to be critical and judgmental and hard toward you, then be like that toward other people. But you choose. Now, you're going to make the choice, one way or the other. You are going to make that choice. If I were you, I would choose for God to be gentle and merciful and sweet to you. That means you need to be that way. It's kind of funny how it works with God. God will allow you to have what you want. But be careful how you pick. Because there is a way that things work with God. And the way that it works with judgment and God is that you choose the judgment that you receive by choosing the judgment that you give. That's the thing. You see, it's kind of funny. You say, well, I didn't choose to receive it. All I just chose to give it. And God says, no, you simply chose it. That's what you chose. I didn't choose for God to be tough on me. I just wanted to be tough on other people. Well, no, it's not that you choose God to be tough on you or on other people. You just chose toughness or harshness, or you've chosen mercy or gentleness, kindness. You choose how God will deal with you. So if you want God to be very gentle and kind toward you, learn to be gentle and kind toward people. Because that's how you make the choice. It says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Whatever you give out, that's what you're going to get. That's how it works. Just the way it works with God. I call it spiritual mechanics. Simply the way it works. What you give is what you're going to get with God. You give love and you get love. You give kindness, you get kindness. You give comfort, you get comfort. It's really simple. It's a simple equation with God. Then it says, it'll be given to you in good measure. I mean, there's going to be a lot of it. Pressed down. That means it's not going to be like, you know, all this air in between. You know how you can like pack a box, but you have all this air in between and it's not really full, even though it looks full. God said, it's not going to be like that. When the box is packed, it's going to be squashed in there. That means there's a lot of it. Shaken together, which means you make it fit all just right. That means there's nothing that's not used. In other words, every portion of it will be to your benefit or whatever you happen to choose. Running over and put into your bosom. Whatever you chose, it's going to be given to you in abundance. And it's going to be directed right at you. So if I'm somebody who chooses to be merciful, people make mistakes and I'm very forgiving. People make mistakes and I'm very kind. Or I'm around people and I don't get angry at them. I don't get annoyed with them. Those are all my choices. Well, that's how God's going to be toward you. But He's also going to be that way toward you in very great abundance. So somebody who's kind is going to receive a tremendous amount of kindness. Somebody who is judgmental will receive a tremendous amount of judgment. Whatever it is you're choosing, God is going to give it back to you in very large quantities. So, be careful how you choose, because it will come back, and it will come back in very large measure, and God is the one who's going to deliver it to you. So it's a sure deal. So learn to be patient, learn to be forgiving. Imagine somebody who just forgives. Somebody does something, you don't even have to look for an apology. You just forgive them, you forget about it, you don't worry about it. You know what God's going to be like toward you? It's going to be incredible. Somebody is impatient. Do you know what God's going to be like toward you? It's going to be horrible. See, we have this thought, we say grace, and certainly we do live in grace. But there's three parts of grace. We think, oh, grace is God's kindness and God's favor. God favors me. That's grace. That's two parts of grace, but there's also a third. The third part is God has a government, and that's also a part of His grace, His government. And when there's a government, there's a certain order in the way that things work. And you want to know how things work with God, because it helps you figure out how to live with Him. And one of the ways it is if you are kind, you're going to receive an abundance of it. Whatever you judge with, that's what you'll receive, and you will receive it in very large quantities. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.